del rey, que es un mendigo que recorre los caminos de Irlanda, que fue su reino, y que no ha repetido nunca el poema.
This was Relato by Francisco Kropfu. KBO, Portland.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the first annual Portland Bob Marley Birthday Party, Saturday, February 6th, starting at 6:30 p.m. at the Melody Ballroom in Portland. The life of Bob Marley will be celebrated with live reggae by Simba Puma and the Roaring Lions, by DJs Reggae Bob and Pablo One from Kingston, Jamaica, and live streaming from Kingston's own Bob Marley Festival. Again, that's the first annual Portland Bob Marley Birthday Party, Saturday, February 6th, starting at 6:30 p.m. at the Melody Ballroom at 615 Southeast Alder Street in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the film screening of Warrior, The Life of Leonard Peltier, Saturday, February 6th, 7 p.m. at the Clinton Street Theater in Portland. Warrior tells the true story of Leonard Peltier, the American Indian leader locked away for life in Leavenworth Penitentiary. Warrior takes us back to the violent confrontations at Pine Ridge and Wounded Knee in the 70s, and through Peltier's harrowing odyssey through the American justice system. Leonard's son, Chauncey Peltier, will hold a Q&A after the film. Again, that's Warrior, The Life of Leonard Peltier, Saturday, February 6th, 7 p.m. at the Clinton Street Theater, 2522 Southeast Clinton Street in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
We're going to continue here with a different nature, with the work Faust from 1962 by the electronic composer Else Marie Padet, who passed away a few days ago. So giving her some space here on KBO Portland, Else Marie Padet with Faust, electronic composition from 1962.
Excuse us. Excuse us for the delay. Excuse us for the delay. And now it's time for Poetic License with Taria Autry. The time is 10:08, and this is KBOO in Portland.
Greetings, and thank you so much for joining me on this audio journey I like to call Poetic License. This is the 11th episode, and it has been a year of great guests, interviews, music, and poetry. From third graders to the last poets, hip-hop artists to soul to funk and jazz, from Seattle to Portland to Central Oregon to Atlanta, and now I am in North Carolina bringing you some amazing talent from the area. I'm so excited about this show. My name is Taria Autry, and you can catch my show the first Monday of every month at 10 p.m. Pacific Standard Time on www.kboo.fm. You can also find out more information about what I'm up to on my website, www.tariaautry.com. That's TURIYAAUTRY.com. So in January, I headed to the Jambalaya Soul Slam, which happens the third Saturday of the month at the Haiti Heritage Center in Durham, North Carolina. And I got to witness and compete with some really talented people. I'll be sharing some of their art with you tonight, as well as some music from acts and musicians that also hail from the Tar Heel State. That lovely beat in the background is Ninth Wonder, also known as Ninthmatic, who was born in Winston-Salem, North Carolina, and was part of the Justice League with other talented artists from the Triangle. The Triangle consists of Raleigh, Durham, and Chapel Hill, North Carolina. I'll be playing some more great music from the area as the show continues, but let's get to that slam, which was hosted by the incredible Kimberly McCray.
So just take the time to love ambitiously and vigorously and fiercely, and to get to know people and to extend yourself in places that you may be unfamiliar with. Get out of your comfort zone, get out of your box, just live life, because there's a lot of life to live, okay? Just want to encourage everybody to do that, all right? So we have an amazing feature here tonight. Let me see. Okay, our feature is over in the corner getting ready. His name is Lance Newman, and he is founder and director of Spread Love Enterprise. Mr. Newman has started a renaissance in Louisville, Kentucky through the arts. As co-founder of Roots and Wings, an ArtPlace America grant recipient, he works to expose youth to spoken word poetry.
I smoke like the truth and face it. I inhale my procrastinations and get back to the basics. My vision isn't always clear, and I am scared of getting LASIKs, because if I live in this reality, I'll become content with the matrix. Sometimes I smoke to remind myself I'm still alive. And that's why I don't mind blackening my insides with failed aspirations and swallowed pride. Breathing gets harder, especially when you've got a reason to provide. So if I'm ever met with a stumble, somehow I learn to keep in stride, trying to get life back on track. It's like these hurdles come back to back, and in this whitewashed world, getting dirty money makes me black. But it is a fact that I was brought here as property. And with no possessions, awkwardly, I've assimilated into this pyramid scheme called democracy. That's why I often draw a blank. I mean, it's hard checking his faces. When voting for a rat race, the desire for cheese can get tasteless. Give me extra inspiration and fill my pockets with freedom. Give me a liberty that contrasts the history class's teachings. Show me pages that look like me before the servitude. Let me tell the people of the crimes that gave the 1% the altitude, because ears are starving for the truth, and 106 is all out of food. They make our ignorance fuel an industry as our image grows more crude. Each day we live for a truth that never had us in mind. All men created equal. As long as the vision is dollar signs, there are tons of black issues. But it's like you can't seem to vibe on the one fact. The real royal commodities that made America thrive, and I realize this don't sell CDs. But maybe it can charge some unity. Open up the bars and stop making the penitentiary our community. If we are refugees, then give us diplomatic immunity. Let us pursue degrees with equal job opportunity, because more men and more men try to wipe the mark of Ham off their people. But they can never stop the rain that watered the root of all evil. We still rock whips and chains because it feels good to embrace our regal. But when it's our skin versus the board, everything's separate and unequal. So desperate are the people. Where I'm from, disrespect is lethal. So I've come to realize that this nation doesn't want a civil rights sequel. They'd rather have you fight for the person instead of live for the people. Have you die for a country that has always been deceitful. Disease-filled blankets to tuck you into your anguish. They build laws against you and prisons when you get angry. So we walk around with guns, drugs, and all the same shit. Because this is America. Being a black man is dangerous. The worst pain. Number 10. When you hit your funny bone on the side of a sharp corner, then realize the joke is filled with the truth about your inability to change your fate. Pain is inevitable. Sometimes there's nothing we can do. Number 9. Stubbing your toe, please cut it off. It's broken anyway. Number 8. Hitting your head so hard that no amount of rubbing can release the pain. Pain. Soothed by a kiss. A kiss from your mother. Lips like medicine. Who said love couldn't heal? Number 7. Listening to Drunken in Love by Beyonce. Number 6. Having that annoying piece of skin posing as a hangnail get bigger and bigger until your teeth can grab onto its stubbornness. Then you pull too far. Now every time you wash your hands, you feel the sting of your own compulsion. Number 5. Burning your tongue to where you can't take buds. Numbers 4 through 2 consist of my daughter's tears, the death of my aunt, and migraines, but they have no order. Because each happened in my head and each were unpreventable. But number one is expected and cliche. Heartbreak. By far the worst pain ever experienced. It is a decided guarantee that we will never escape, like time. One day my daughter's tears will be the result of a failed connection, and I won't be able to kiss where it hurts, like migraines. I know it will go away. But at that moment, I am paralyzed by agony, heartbreak, tastes like salt and snot, so hot that her name burnt my tongue and then left my lips, where the only growth that's occurring is an excess of annoying, making my nail bed harder to sleep in. Passing out is easier when you're love drunk, otherwise you're up all night, because you know there's nothing to wake up to. Heartbreak. It's like hitting your head, and the one kiss that will make it go away has gone away. She's not coming back. Why can't you cut off your heart after stubbing it? I mean, it's broken anyway. In retrospect, it's funny. Relationships hit sharp corners. Then we realize there was nothing we could do, but we accept our fate. Because heartbreak is inevitable. And sometimes, there's just nothing we can do. Thank you. It's called Psalms 23. I wonder if King David knew when he was writing the 23rd Psalm that he'd help my dad shape me into a prophet. Hi, I'm Lance, and I've got sermon narcolepsy. And when my father catches me sleeping, he sneaks in like the Lord's own personal devil dog. Separate 5. The Marines taught my father 2 things, how to be a man and how to protect this nation under God. So he's sure to remind me there are no headboards in the house of the Lord this one time when he was in the choir. It took him 20 weeks to get from the pulpit to my prayers, where I imagine a burning bush saying in my father's voice, "Son, why are you asleep?" I awoke in his shadow of death and said, "Dad, I'm only counting God's sheep," but he wasn't having it. And instead of patience, he gave me directions worth my attention's penance. I was to stand at attention until he scratched his nose. I had to pose a parade rest until he pulled on his ear, and I couldn't sit down until he yawned this other time when I was doing some heavy praying. I'm talking Bible open and eyes shut, sounding like a meditating Buddhist monk with snores coming from my gut. He woke me up and said, "Son, this isn't our church, so I'll have to improvise." Find Psalms 23, and by the end of this sermon, it had better be memorized. The Lord is my shepherd, and he knows I want sleep. He lays me down in passes of pews, resting on the path of righteousness I choose by not following the pastor's views. Well, the congregation is like similes, comparing words to religion when the only one that matters is faith. Dad, my relationship with God has helped me, despite the propaganda you tried to force on my tongue. And I'm not saying the prophets are wrong, but who's to say they didn't attach their own intentions to God's will? Don't worry, I don't believe in history books either. Because even though the revolution isn't televised, the Holy Ghost can be found. found between the Home Shopping Network and HBO's Real Sex. See, I bet in Alexandria, when Romans burned books of the Bible, God made the air a little dry that day. The great fire was his reviser. His submission denial to false prophets with a silver tongue trying to get their 30 pieces off of Jesus, but maybe I'm wrong. Dad, maybe when you made me memorize King David's poem, you somehow knew scripture would one day spill for my transgressions. You are truly a man of God, because he masks his blessings and your punishments. And I finally realized you weren't trying to prove to me that the prophets didn't attach their own intentions to God's will. You were just helping me attach mine.
Those first three poems were by the featured artist that evening, Lance Newman.
Before we get our slam started, we have a spotlight poet tonight. His name is Drew Solomon, and he is an actor from New Jersey. What part of Jersey are you from?
Irvington.
I grew up in East Orange. Yes, holler. Okay. I'm originally from Brooklyn, though. Don't ever get that twisted. Yes, my Brooklyn people. Anywhere you go, I don't care how long we've been in the South, we will always be from Brooklyn. There you go. Residing in LA. You can catch him on Investigation Discovery Channel, and he's currently filming episodes in Charlotte. Please give a round of applause. He's going to come and bring us a couple of poems. Give a round of applause for Drew Solomon.
The essence of life. Cells make tissues. Tissues make organs. Organs make you. Houses, cars, jewelry, clothes, money. Is that what's important to you? The vehicle that gets you where you're going, the house in which you live, will make it feel like a living hell if you don't take care of the shell in which the living God dwells. Foreclose on those bones, repo all that heart, eviction of those lungs, the breakdown of those joints. Oh, you waiting for the HMOs, the media, the FDA to keep you from a hospital stay? The book says we can have life the length of the trees, but we can't make it out of our 30s without degenerative disease. Our health is our wealth. Unfortunately, we gotta educate ourselves. With the mercury in the water, chemicals in the soil, inhumane treatment of the animals, turning us into animals. Steroids are illegal, but giving them to our people through the chickens, cows, fish is legal? The profit is in the disease, not in the cure. So think before you drink. Read it before you eat it, because the goal of corporate is to get you addicted and so sick in order for you to continue to unknowingly fund and support their legal syndicate. You believe this shit? Essence of life.
So who is at a poetry slam for the first time ever in life? Whoa, nice, we got newbies, y'all. Yes, wonderful. Okay, well, we will not disappoint. You will enjoy yourselves. So, Poetry Slam was founded by a construction worker named Mark Smith.
So what?
We say so what because Mark Smith wanted it to be about the poetry and not about him. So that's how we always open up. Thank you so much. These are our seasoned poets in the back. Every now and then you'll hear some heckling and some laughing going on. Pay them no mind. This is what they do. Audience, sway the judges. Judges, don't be swayed by the audience. Judges, your scores. A zero would be, you bought $150,000 worth of lottery tickets and you missed by three numbers. That's a zero for the lottery that just happened this week, all right? A 10 would be you won. So what is that? Well, I mean, that's like, everything. So, if the poem is worth what it would feel like to win the lottery, then give it a 10. If the poem is worth what it would feel like to have spent all of your money and still have to go to work to make up the money that you spent on buying lottery tickets, then give it a 0. If it's neither one of those, then give it something somewhere in the middle. Come on up, APE, give a round of applause as you come to the mic.
I want to wake up to you every morning. Hold your full body in the palm of my hands. Your rich, bold effervescence excites me in ways words can never explain. But you give me life. So lie to me. Tell me that everything will be okay. That today we have more opportunities than yesterday, and that you will always be there for me. So lie. Lie like you have never lied to another human being before. And in return, I will align my allegiance with you because you have a hold on me, a tight grasp baby. Keep doing that voodoo that you do, and I will drink every ounce of your good, dark, beautiful goodness. God damn it, you. My wonderful morning cup of coffee. I don't know how I ever made it without you. You're a magnificent gift from the heaven, a ram in the bush, but it did stay in the good book that God did stay up for 7 days and for 7 nights, and I know he had to be tired. So he made a fresh cup of coffee to be beside him. Your aroma is the resurrection of life to the walking dead, to the not-so-mourning person, to the... Don't you talk to my ass until I have my first cup of coffee, you rescue me. Save me from a life of brokenness, but without you, I'm evil in the AM. I'm hard to deal with at noonday somehow. I found the enlightenment by the noon evening sometime. I have to have 2 cups of coffee just to get out of my bed, just to make a cup of coffee. My friends, tell me that maybe I should switch to decaf, but I tell them, drinking that shit is just like getting a hooker who just want a cuddle coffee. I just want to thank you for keeping me awake, vibrant, aware of my surroundings. Maybe I should make a fresh cup of coffee for black people just to wake up. Step back, survey the world around them, get a clearer picture that not everyone will be able to digest your goodness, that your aroma will not attract the same attention to those that don't acknowledge your struggle. Know your history, know your word, know that our harvests have came at some heavy cost, our crops have now been rendered to wasteland. We're doing, don't pull together in solidarity, always acting like we sleep to the issue at hand. God damn it, black folks, can't y'all smell what is brewing? Fight for a cause, because if you don't, they will give you theirs to fight for. We change profile pictures and sympathy for others, but never noticing them changing theirs in support of ours. They say pray for Paris. We say, what about the shootings in Kenya? They say, this is about attack on terrorism. We say, Charleston 9. We say, Black Lives Matter. They say, no, all lives matter. Really, anyone, a Muslim, Mexican, Black, anyone that you feel superior to, they say, why are you acting so serious? So jittery, acting like you just have finished off a whole pot of coffee. Maybe it is the caffeine. Or maybe it's a self-awareness developing, knowing that we are peaceful, proper people, or maybe we're just tired of so many people dying, and no one seems to care. It's time for a fresh cup of coffee, y'all, and just wake up.
And keep clapping as we bring Crosswords to the stage. Crosswords.
In my neighborhood, just like other neighborhoods across the world, we play the game called 21. Now, for those who don't know, 21 is a pickup basketball game where one person defends himself against everybody else on the court. One man against the world, no blood, no foul. Where I come from, we call it rough. Now, the first 2 points were a given. Mommy carried you and fed you and tied your shoes, and then you get a free throw. If you make it, you get another, and then another, and then you miss. Someone else gets the rebound, but you gotta get the ball back. Daddy's gone, and mommy's gotta work late. Now you're 6 in deep, and your game has developed to first grade. Learn to feed yourself because you gotta eat, but milk money comes with a price because you got your cookie stolen. Swish. 8. 9. Recognize your weakness. Time to be who you're gonna be, so who are you gonna be? What are you going to be because they're still coming at you? Double digits at 11. No crossover. No understanding why the quicksand is just a metaphor. Why the roadrunner can't be caught. No more prizes in my cereal. Where's daddy? Learn the blacktop because the streets is your daddy. Learn to fight because war is coming, then boom. You got 13. All zeros eliminated. Watching those who fall start to fall now because now the sidelines are watching. Wondering who's got next, but still, you don't know how much there is that you don't know because every day you're being fed a spoonful of hatred in your sugar snacks. You have yet to learn that in order to truly destroy something, you must teach it how to destroy itself. So you learn to hustle. So now I'm at 15, but I'm down by 3. So I get up at 6 to catch the 34 to the 96 in order to get to school by 8. I sell 220s to my boy Trey in the back of room 119. Caught a short on a 3 for 50, but made a 10 back from the Knicks. I sold his dime to the 14 Birds over on 18th Ave, making 210 on a quarter. See, my English is broken, my history is sketchy, but my math comes natural because I learned how to wait for my change. And it's gonna come. It's gotta come. 17 is coming if you lay it up. 18 is coming if you make the shot. Now you can vote. Now you're a patriot. You can die in your country. You can die for your country. You can die in your hallway. Take all the experience you have and wipe in your ass to be all that you can be. No more juvenile tendencies. You're a man now in the eyes of the law. Young boys become young men with seconds unbroken in attitudes. Young men become old men with seconds unbroken in attitudes. Next basket gets you 20. Seems like a lifetime ago when you stepped into the court, walked into the world that had no mercy. But it feels like yesterday when your mama tied your shoes, wiped your tears, sent you out to play games that you will sometimes lose. So get a solid grip on the ball. Protect it with your life. Take aim with your soul and jump with all your might. Reach. Extend your elbows. Let the world fly off your fingertips. Watch your dreams soar through the air. Count the seconds that 21 brings. Dance on victories. Pour some out for the homies that didn't make it. Pour some out for the homies that didn't make it. Breathe. Don't breathe. Hold it in. Let it out. When it falls, swish.
Give it up again for Crosswords. And keep clapping while we bring the tallest person in the house to the stage, Dasan.
I drifted off to the sound of Nas's Illmatic playing in the background, and as I fell deeper into sleep, the music started to overwhelm my dreams. Next thing you know, I'm walking down the block. I see this kid at the bus stop. We start talking hip-hop, and I feel like I'm Nas in the park with Shorty Doo-Wop. He telling me he rhymes, so I asked him what he rhymed about, and I listen to the words that he give me about his mouth, the rims he wanna have, the cars he wanna push, the chicks he wanna date, how he smoke on purple kush, the money he gonna make, and his fame up in the industry. So I asked him, if you make it, are you still gonna remember me? He said, maybe, so I laughed a little, dude. He said, maybe you get some ad-libs, maybe an interlude. He said that black card, yeah, he had to have that. I said, you can't define a man by a piece of plastic. Cat Stacy Alderman thinking they're running rebels, being played by a shark, happy to ice their dozens. If you never realize you're playing for a devil, you set your sights higher, and you never ever sell it. He said, oh, shit, old man. You got a little something with you. He said, okay. He said, where your bars at? Where my bars at? Hold on. I don't do illusions, I don't do the parlor tricks. You vote these bastards relevant, I say fuck the politics. Rebellion on my vocal cords, fire on my tongue. I ride on these pages until they come undone. I write like Young Stokely, so when I hit a stage, a change is on the way, limits Kwame Ture. Power in the shadows in the absence of light. I know black power, only write at midnight. Look into my eyes, my frowns suggest tension. I put text on the track for your reading comprehension. I deliver rainbows for souls that are hurting. Swagger Jesse Jackson, purpose LeVar Burton. Ask me if I'm ready, I tell you for certain. Especially when I know I really put the work in. Every day is preparation, dreaming is rehearsing. And when I sleep, it means me and God is conversing.
Come on.
I said, are you afraid to win? Are you afraid to lose? Are you afraid to accept responsibility? Are you afraid to choose? I see people tie the noose and climb up the tree, ready to be the person that's supposed to be the, that strange fruit. Would you rather live a lie than learn the truth? I can look in your eyes and see you don't want it. I can listen to you talk and see you ain't ready. And I'm watching you write. You can't even hold a pen steady. What, you nervous? But you might win and have to actually walk in your purpose. You see a mountain, I see a molehill. You acting like it's insurmountable, but you just don't want to be held accountable. But didn't Moses find God at the top of that peak? He got a deal. God produced 10 tracks. He returned to the people with a classic. Rock them jams. Got distribution. That means your grind is your clients and tell me what the hell you been doing. Your dreams over there, you standing right here. The only barrier to your progress is fear. Oh, you've been in the studio pounding out tracks. That ain't the way to beat the machine. John Henry died like that. What's your stage show like? What's your business sense worth? What are your concepts like? Where's the variety in your verse? You might as well stand on the sideline and watch me work. Stand on the sideline and silently hate. Watch me go after it and silently wait. You playing? I'm trying to feel what you're talking about. I can't grasp what you're saying. Can't you see we can't waste any time? It's promise waiting for us at the finish line. So when they have you living a lifestyle that you don't really know how to live, next thing you know, you behind four concrete walls, looking at your mother with tears in her eyes, you tell me what them bars like. When you find out they got you in the club popping bottles that you never bought and you don't know who's standing beside you, what them bars like. When you realize the standard's set too high that you can't reach, what them bars like. You tell me what your bars like, what them bars like.
The next poet who came up to the mic was Ashley.
The thing no one remembers about Bloody Sunday is the day before was just Saturday night. A few colored folks gathered in the living room to talk about the walk they take the next day. Amelia fried the kind of catfish that could only come from East Savannah, while Coretta stirred the collard pot just enough to fold the vinegar in. Martin told jokes at the kitchen table till folks stopped sipping their lemonade, afraid the laughter would transform the mouth into some kind of water hose. Nina got to sing him the way she did that new Negro classic music till Bayard stood and taught them all a new freedom shuffle, and it went like that. The kids in the corner mimicking their aunts and uncles' games till the quiet hush of a righteous movement lulled them off to sleep. And at sunrise, it was leftovers and grits, everyone fighting for the chance to say grace, knowing this might be the last opportunity to lead their friends in prayer, to go to God for the rights they've been seeking, but mostly the right to meet again and eat and laugh the way they'd done just the night before. Because Selma wasn't a buzzword yet for everything that is still wrong in this country, just a place where Martin III watched his daddy play the dozens with a group of folks who'd never dream of calling him Dr. King. Not even the boys at the front door with shotguns cocked and ready, leaning in from the front porch to ask for more biscuits and tea. So maybe a photograph transformed a nation to the kind that cares about colored bodies. But the thing no one says about Bloody Sunday is that night the movement was a waiting room, a hushed murmur making the decision to soon march again, even while the cute boy from Tuskegee sat at Amelia's bedside humming some Marvin Gaye along with We Shall Overcome. And no one knows which song it was that lulled him back to consciousness, her face still swollen and bruised from where the concrete kissed her stubborn cheek, pressed warm as autumn leaves beneath a loaded billy club until the rubble of shattered bones crunched like branches underfoot. She married that boy a few years later, but only because he marched on Tuesday and came to tell the story of how some girl brought chicken and cornbread and they all pretended to love it because they were too tired to say it wasn't seasoned right. And at least they hadn't left their taste buds back on Edmund Pettus Bridge, where so many things were left behind, because most folks who made it to dinner that night did not make it out of the movement alive, or at least without watching their best friends' funerals while the boys from the front door watched their backs. And didn't that miss the point of it all? To give the whole of their lives to the struggle and still owe their grief as well, still owe their pride and uplifted heads at a time they need only be asked to weep? And isn't that what we mean now, to say Black Lives Matter? Not just the dead ones, but the ones that are one day laughing and the next at a hospital door or a jail cell or a cemetery thinking, my God, where did it all go? The thing no one knows about Bloody Sunday is the day before was just Saturday night. Just friends so in love with each other's laughter that they fought for each other's lives.
If I were to name mine, it will be called the Church for the Lost and Wandering. The problem with using your body as a temple is that people go to church because they need saving. I believe myself to be clairvoyant. I can always see how great men are, even if they don't see it in themselves, but they see me, silver lining on the road to somewhere. Even when my body used for ministry, no soul has ever stopped and stayed to make this church of mine their home. I fell in love with one wanderer almost instantly. It was amazing how loved he made me feel when he felt nothing, if that. He made me believe that life was worth living, so the least I can do was convince him of the same. All of my daily devotions went to him. I was convinced that love would mend his brokenness, so I opened my heart and my legs, and I thought to myself, maybe I can drown this depression of his if I take him in deep enough. If these waters were meant for lubrication, first and foremost, healing was just an added benefit of me loving him, of showing my love for him, of me wanting to fuck him harder, thinking if my walls were just right, I could look into his eyes and see him and not the spirit of depression hiding in his irises. He would hold on to me after he came, as if hoping his demons would leave his body during ejaculation, that the release would somehow shake this dose of emotion away from his being. I would have to perform exorcisms, on him daily if it meant his happiness, will allow her to come within these walls to find sanctuary, to pray at my altar for an altered state of mind. I convinced myself that with this, along with friendship, would suffice. This should have sufficed. When he stopped coming in to church, Without explanation, I was optimistic, but when he did not return, I questioned myself. What did I do wrong? Did I not open myself up more to him enough? Did I not love him enough? Why was me not loving him enough? He was always going to go. He made ruins of my body. I can barely host myself, let alone anyone else in this church of mine. I was never meant to be the light of his life, only the light out of the darkness. I can no longer be a parish for men who are withering away. I am now the withered. Take it from me. When a man wanders into your path, he's probably not looking for love. He was just lost.
You are tuned into Poetic License. I am your host, Taria Autry, and I am bringing you performances that happen live at the Jambalaya Soul Slam in Durham, North Carolina, the third Saturday of January. Great night, great evening. Now back to that poetry slam.
And keep clapping as we call LJ to the stage. LJ.
In no particular order, a list of words and phrases that I hate. One, bae. In Danish, the word means poop. So I don't understand why couples love going around calling their significant other a piece of shit. Two, bad bitch. Bad means of poor quality, while bitch means wolf, dog, or any other canine. A woman can be something beautiful or much more, but they would rather go around calling themselves something that makes them target practice for a social media meme. So does bad bitch make you a woman of quality, or does it make you more like a knockoff grocery item in Aldi's? Three. Fleek. It means to be on point, but I can't help but wonder that somewhere in South America, it's a colorful-ass bird that makes this sound when it's ready to mate. Four. Turn down. For what? How about because you're too loud? It's not only your voice, it's your smell. See, I've walked by too many people who have broken the knob on their debauchery, how they normally don't do this, but if you need more of a reason why you should turn down, how about so the cops aren't telling your parents how you decide to play chicken with a light pole at 95 miles per hour? Five. Anything dealing with Donald Trump's vocabulary in general. Six. I woke up like this. Okay, look. It's 2016. You can't wake up looking like a 2016 Bentley when you like a 79 Pinto sitting on bricks. Seven. Thoughts. Okay, this more so fits American politicians than the occasional hoe over there. Let's be honest. America has screwed more people than Ron Jeremy, Wilt Chamberlain, and Derrick Rose's consistency to play a full basketball season. Now, I know what you're thinking. Why so serious? It's because when I think about what my ancestors went through, they fought long and hard, all living to be wild, trying to be literate, while now the new millennials are dying to not read one damn sentence out loud. But if you need more of a reason, or more of a reason why you should hate this poem, how about this, so it makes sense? Hashtag, TBH. I didn't care what to tell you, but STFU with your short form phrases if you can't converse with me seriously.
Give it up again for LJ. And keep clapping while Einstein comes to the stage.
For the boys who were taught that the only way to find their manhood was to crack a woman open and take it. In my elementary school, there hung a 6x8 frame photograph that read, "Give a man a fish, and you feed him for a day. Teach a man to fish, and you feed him for a lifetime." I have been taught how to fish by men who saw women as oceans of opportunity. Not humans, but prey, with waves in their hips too tempting not to sail, and plunder their waters by forcing our way through a storm of refusal, seeing women as merely oysters, only food to feed our hunger, their weathered-worn shells just begging to be cracked open, their pearls more target than treasure. I got my first lesson in fishing when I watched my best friend explain to the police that her 5'2", 130-pound frame was not strong enough to fight off her rapist. They questioned her, like she should have seen this coming. Told her, when your world is an ocean of fishermen fighting off starvation, how could you not see yourself as food? The smell of seawater was thick in the air. All I saw were the weathered faces of fishermen who looked at her as an oyster who didn't learn how to hide in her shell. Her voice, which took so long to rise to the surface, was being forced back down from a sea of blame to a depth of darkness and silence. We put all the realities we are afraid will get caught on the wrong prom king or fraternity or football player, all just fishing for a good time. We will baptize them in the saltiness of our belief. Preserving the sanctity of boys will be boys. But the tackle box rattling in my chest reminds me that I have been given all the tools for hunting. A patrimony of predator to see the weathered skin of women as property as if their body is not their own. Only a maritime prize to upload for the world to see her body twisted in a net of bed-sheets and accusations like what was she drinking? Or what was she wearing? Those boys are born with bait dangling from toothy smiles and fishing rods. How could she let herself get caught in the first place? As if she wanted her body turned carcass, only guilty of simply existing, surviving in a sea of fishermen that decide that an oyster is only valuable based on the struggle it takes to take it. That the difference between women and oysters is how many we can justify cracking open in the pursuit of feeding, saying she deserved it based on the way her body curves and her clothing. It's like saying the oyster shell was so seductively sealed, the fisherman had to break it open. Researchers say it is ethically okay to eat oysters because they lack a central nervous system and don't feel any pain of what we do to them. There isn't any research to say that an outfit can cause the spinal cord to inform the body, to inform the brain that sexual assault is coming, or that any amount of liquor can justify a man forcing himself upon a woman. But it is a fact that we spend too much time teaching little girls how to not be seen as prey, not enough time worrying why they are being preyed upon. We can start educating our young boys on a woman's right to survive without fear of being destroyed, because if we give our little boys a definition of manhood that does not come at the fear of women, we can finally feed our boys something valuable to stay with them for a lifetime.
Yeah.
Black. My arms are long. My hair is woolly. My back is strong. Strong enough to take the pain inflicted again and again. What do they call me? My name is Aunt Sarah. My name is Aunt Sarah. Aunt Sarah. My skin is yellow. My hair is long. Between two worlds, I do belong. My father was rich and white. He forced my mother late. What do they call me? My name is Sophronia. My name is Sophronia. Money to buy. what do they call me? My name is Sweet Thing. My name is Sweet Thing.
You are tuned in to KBOO Portland. I am your host, Taria Autry, bringing you another episode of Poetic License. You just heard from Nina Simone, Four Women. You may not know Nina Simone is from North Carolina. That's right, Tryon. And this episode is featuring voices, artists, poets who are either from Carolina, living in North Carolina, or visiting North Carolina for the Jambalaya Soul Slam that happened in January. Now, back to some more poetry. The next poet coming up to bless the mic is Kelly.
I've always been a confident person. Well, that was until I met these girls that would always sit in the backs of classrooms, heckle in the corner of my dressing room, and always find themselves in the middle of my mirror to whisper broken record insults like, less is more. Less of me means more acceptance, and I'm sure you've seen them. I'm sure they've hung out on every coffee table, newsstand, you know, Vanity Fair. Marie Claire, 17, you know, just to name a few. See, I turn pages and see women that don't look like me, and I wonder, honestly, what does that say about my beauty? Most of the women have white skin, so where do I fit in? I pick up Vanity Fair, and the women have these blue eyes and these long, flowing, blonde hair, and I'm wondering if the pages are trying to convince me that the less color I have, the more American I appear, the less kinks and frizz, the more socially acceptable. But I was taught the blacker the berry, the sweeter the juice, the easier it is to trace my African roots, and I know that we sat rich and regal on thrones, rocking kinks and afro puffs for centuries in our native land. But then I move on to 17. And the girls are getting younger and younger, it seems, adolescent faces with bedroom eyes, and I don't like what this implies. The very name implies that we should stay young with dyes, creams, and collagen. But I will never be Peter Pan in believing that we should stay young forever. Every gray hair is that woman's story written in silvery ink history. But then I move on to Marie Claire. And the women are half naked, sitting on beds next to men. And I'm wondering, when did women become capital? Just golden trophies to cash in? Has America really ran out of freshly shaven legs? So we sell at malls and we sell wedding bands? No, it's priceless. I have standards and you just won't do boo-boo. Does not have a price tag. Never prostitute your body for a sense of purpose. But then I pick up Vogue. And the women are so thin. Ribs protruding, cheeks sunken in. The clothes are barely staying on them. Pages are trying to tell me that the less space I take up, the more attractive I am to men, but I know that this is not a true representation of the women living in our society today. Women today would pay top dollar to inject and implant the fullness that resides in my backside and hips. We are all a melting pot. A melting pot of women that wish we had a little more of this and a little less of that. We don't need $2.99, 377 pages of oppressive fiction telling us that we will never be perfect. And I'm okay with that.
And the last poem read in the first round of the slam was by LB.
Always speak louder than words. Like when the very first girl told me that she loved me and meant it. It sounded like my very first hallelujah. Together we learned that our heartbeat is the instrumental to how true worship should feel. But when our music stopped, she danced around the pieces of my broken heart like David, moving every part of me until she was naked enough to find out that God is love, even when you are not loving. When she told me it was over, I found myself in silence again. And with no words to say, all I could do is remember. And I just waved my hand. Isn't it funny how a cry goodbye and a cry for God to save you can look exactly the same? Her name is brown for me now. Every time it touches my tongue, I can still feel the Judas in her goodbye. How her name, it sounds a lot like 30 pieces of silver. You have any idea what it cost me to stop my heart from beating in the syllables of her name? Now I know what it feels like to fight goodbye. I know what it feels like to fight a goodbye out of my life. It feels like a fight song, like a backstabber, like two syllables, like don't leave. No matter how bad being stabbed hurts you, it always hurts worse pulling your lover's sharpness out of your life. Cupid's arrow was never designed to be removed, especially when you love like breathing. The problem with having asthmatic emotions is that you focus too much on trying to catch your breath when you should be learning to just let it go.
Next up is another piece by I Shine.
After the newscaster is done reciting the young martyr's name for the 77th time and the 77th day in a row for the 7 o'clock news, he says goodnight to the audience, drives home in his Honda, kisses his Chevy up a wipe, tucks his son in for bedtime and whispers ever so softly, "Remember, son, there are always more monsters on the inside than outside." He goes to the bathroom, tries to clean the young mother's name from his conscience. The showerhead is John the Baptist. The young mother's name is Jesus Christ. He's gonna drown the Lamb of God until its fleece is whitewashed enough to be nailed on the crosstalk of the nightly news. The next morning, he arrives early for work. He tucks the young mother's name under his tongue like a buzzword for a Milgram experiment he's been studying his whole life for. But the producers ain't no Yale University psychologist. He's gotta rip the young mother's name out of his mouth like it's trying to outrun the storm they've strapped the viewers down for. But the lightning is the same spot every hour on the hour. Gotta shock the empathy out of your viewers. Keep hitting the button while the young martyr's parents sit in electrocution chairs and die again and again and again every time they turn on the television news. Remind yourself the ones in authority told you to do it. You're just doing your job. After the poet is done reciting the young martyr's name for the 77th time in the 77th slam, because he's tired of getting sevens, he says goodnight to the audience, drives home with the 30 pieces of silver he used to fill up the gas tank, takes off the costume of revolutionary since it's gotta get some rest before the next performance. I mean, it must be hard ranting and raving about the monsters on the outside so much, you forget about the ones on the inside. He turns on the news. He plucks another young martyr's name from the headlines like fruit ripe for the devouring. He arrives early for the next slam. He's fashioned fake empathy around the young mother's name like thunder, setting up the strike with murder victims on every line, after every line, gotta shock the king out of their chest and cloud their minds so they won't see the strike hitting again and again and again every time. We watch some self-righteous individual pretend that they give a fuck about our dying youth. Poet, remind yourself you do not care what you're spitting. You are just doing your job.
Come on,
young martyr standing in the 77th street in the 77th district of heaven, taps Jesus on the shoulder and asks, "Why do they keep using my name in vain?" Jesus responds, "You better get used to it, kid. This is what it means to die for other people's sins." The young martyrs come to me in my sleep. They're screaming to me like the rest. They're tired of that ghost being paraded for our entertainment. You're not an activist. You're not a revolutionary. You're not even a poet. You just watch the news like I do, with the strange metaphors hanging from the pages of your
suicide, we were 12 and 10 years old. Our faces pressed to the window of our school bus stopped before a railroad crossing. His body was an arrow poised to land beneath that moving target. We always talked about how much we screamed. I never mentioned how I watched him smile in those moments before he bent his knees and willed himself to leap, because there are things you just don't say. Here, where how are you doing is always a greeting, but never a question. We do not stop long enough to hear each other's reply. That night, our folks talked to us about suicide. They said there is no repentance beyond the grave, so maybe hell on earth is a better trade-off than the fire and brimstone promised to those who bail on these bodies too soon. You cried yourself to sleep that night. The second time I watched a man die of altogether unnatural causes, it was rushing.
Thank you again for tuning in to Poetic License on KBOO Portland. This is Taria Autry. I'm going to be signing off soon. The song you were just listening to was Daykeeper, featuring Musina, and it's off the album Leave It All Behind by The Foreign Exchange, another crew out of North Carolina, I'm telling you. Some beautiful, talented, wonderful people here. I want to thank everybody at the Jambalaya Soul Slam for welcoming me, for sharing their art, and for just doing their thing. I'm looking forward to heading to the Poetry Slam in Fayetteville, actually in February. And that will be what you get to hear next month on episode 12 of Poetic License. Thanks again for tuning in. If you would like to get more information on me and what I'm up to, because I will be doing some shows in Portland while I'm out there, as well as Central Oregon, before I return back to the South in April, do check out my website. It's www.tariaautry.com. That's TURIYAAUTRY.com. Thanks again for tuning in. And I'm going to take you out with a song by two of my favorite jazz artists, Thelonious Monk and John Coltrane, at Carnegie Hall, playing Blue Monk, because you may not know this. Also, Born in NC. Have a great everything.
KBOO Portland, listener power, non-corporate community radio.
Just leave me alone.
The time is 11 p.m., and you are tuned to the Ubu Hour.